a very interesting Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perik Aleph, that describes the process of how the world turned from the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how they turned to the Oved Avodah Zarah. And Rashi, and the Rambam goes from level to level about the different Nevi'e Sheker that began to value the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, started bowing down to the Mazolos, to the Krichovim, to the stars. And then he describes how the world went chaotic until Avram Avinu came along. And Avram Avinu stood up, came from Orkastim, he stood up, and he was the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'hischil lam v'likris b'kol gadol. He began and stood up in a loud voice to call Om to the whole nation, Olohidiyom, and let them know, Shiyesh Eloka echol l'chol ha'olam. There's one God, there's monotheism. V'loy ro'i l'avoid. And to him alone is worth serving. And he'd go to different places from ear to ear, from one city to the other, mamlocha to mamlocha, to one kingdom to the other, until he came to Eretz Canaan. And then he'd go to different groups of people who would collect by him, etc., etc. So he describes how Avraham Avinu had this uniqueness, had this strength of going, of bringing back the Klal Yisrael, to bring back the people, the regular people, back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to bring normality back to the world. So the Raifut asks, why was it that Avraham Avinu had this uniqueness? What was it that Avraham Avinu was special? There were people in the world who had incredible amount of knowledge. You had Noach, who the Torah says was a ish tzaddik tomim hoya b'dereso. He was a tzaddik tomim, a perfect tzaddik. Where was he in this picture? Why was Avraham Avinu accredited with bringing normality into the world? Where was Noach? Why was Noach involved over here? So too we had Shem Ve'eva. Shem Ve'eva had big yeshivas. Yaakov Avinu went to study there 14 years at Shem Ve'eva. These people were Talmidei Chachamim. These people were G'dolei Olam. Yeah, big people in the world. So why was it that the Rambam accredits Avraham Avinu as being the one that brought normality back? What happened to Shem Ve'eva? So the Raivad has one teretz, and the Kesef Mishnah answers at this. He says there's a very big difference between Avraham Avinu and Shem Ve'eva. Avraham Avinu, as Rambam describes, went out and he was machriz emunas Hashem. He went out and announced the emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shem Ve'eva, says the Kesef Mishnah, hoyamoydim derech Hashem letalmideim, would only give over the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to their talmidim, to their people who came to them. They're the Beis Medrash, is open for anyone, everyone to come to hear them. They're willing to preach to, but they never went out. They were not inspired to go out and call to the nations like Avraham Avinu. And that's why Avraham Avinu's level was that much higher. In other words, what the Rambam is saying over here is that what determined Avraham Avinu as being the first Jew was not knowledge. What determined Avraham Avinu as being the first Jew was not his ability to learn a piece of Gemara. What created the first Jew and began a process of what turned into be Klal Yisrael was Avraham Avinu's hisirus, his will to go out and to yell and shout to the world, to people who weren't willing to listen, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And he'll go around and he shouted the Kol Gadol. People thought he was crazy. And eventually people came to him and started connecting themselves to him. Avraham Avinu, lack of a better word, was the first Kirov professional. Okay? You have to understand again, but what that means was that the first Jew that we know, the first Jew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose as being the beginning of Klal Yisrael was somebody who went out and was misira other people, inspired other people in Avodas Hashem. That's what made Avraham Avinu unique to Noach and Shem Ve'eva. If that's the case, these parashas, Lech Lecha and Vayera, are a study into Avraham Avinu's techniques. They are a study and understanding what the Torah expects from Avraham Avinu's children in the same way to act. So let's go slowly through the Pesukim. Right beginning of the parasha, Vayoyim HaShem al Avram, Leich Lecha. Leich Lecha, go for yourself. Me'artzecha, mimoladetcha, mebeisavicha, eretz asher eka. Now according to most Rishonim, this was the first Nisoyim. The first Nisoyim of Avraham Avinu was to leave behind his family, and the Artzecha from your land, mimoladetcha, your birthplace, and go to the land that I'll show you. Says Rashi, Leich Lecha, what's Rashat Leich Go Lecha? Says Rashi, Lehana Oscha, Lotoivoscha. For your Hana, and for your Toiva. Bisham Escha Lekoi Godel, and there I'll make you a Goi Godel. Now, this was a Nisoyim. Obviously, Kodesh Baruch Hu was testing Avraham Avinu to see how connected he was with the Ratzon Hashem. And it's the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually spoke to Avraham Avinu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to you and I, and he said to us, leave where you're living now, and go and travel somewhere else, and I promise you I'll look after you. How big is that nesayim? Lech lecho, go for your sake, not for my sake. Hana oscho tiv oscho, go for your sake. How big a nesayim is that? Furthermore, ve'escha legoy gadol, and I will make you, says Rashi, next pasuk, I will make you well known. Yeah, normally a person doesn't not know and he could become a stranger. I'll make you famous. I'll give you glory. And that was, is that what Avraham looking for? Looking for glory, looking for fame. Full of paparazzi to run after him. What's the idea behind this? Why is the Coach Baruch saying, I'll look after you, I'll make you famous? What's the story behind this? So the Chasam Sefer says something very interesting, and he says that Avraham Avinu seemed to change his technique. Earlier on, in the end of Parshas Noach, we are given a sign of Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim was a famous story that Avraham Avinu was taken by his father after he smashed the idols and taken by Nimrod, as every responsible father would do, take a child to Nimrod and put him in a furnace. And Avraham Avinu was this crazy kid who was walking around in a furnace and was saved. But Avraham Avinu didn't lecture at that stage. He took a hammer and started smashing up the idols. He was a kid who was taken into a furnace in front of all the cameras and was willing to be burnt there. He didn't intellectualize, he didn't lecture, he didn't do any of that sort of things at all. Then he seemed to make a policy shift. He came to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and there the Pasuk says, "Vayivin shom izbeach v'yikro b'shem Hashem." There he started to darshan. There he started to develop his skills in convincing people in a way that was logical, in a way that was he is able to be convincing, you know, to show that there's a Ribbon Shalom in the world. Ask Chasam Sefer, why in Ur Kasdim was he this wild kanoi, this wild guy, who just smashing things away and showing his way through that way? And later on, suddenly he changes his technique and becomes a diplomatic and becomes more expressive and articulate. What's the deal behind that? So he says, a very important principle. A person is not going to be listened to unless they are respected. And respect comes with influence, and influence comes with presentation. Avraham Avinu was this wild kid at home. It's very difficult for a rabbi to become a rabbi of a community that he grew up in. Yeah, the rabbi has sometimes to tell the older people in the community how to behave, and they look at him and say, "Ah, oh, I remember you in your short trousers. I remember you." You know, and it's very difficult to have that power of influence to be able to tell them who they are. And sometimes, even an older rabbi who would be very fitting for that community isn't that good. You take a new rabbi nobody knows, who may not be as qualified, but he has an ability to influence much, much more. Said of Sam Sefer, when he was in Ur Kasdim, everyone knew Avraham Avinu as a little kid, and therefore his power to influence other people was not, he was not able to do so. People didn't respect him. They didn't respect him, and therefore the only way to show his point was to smash his way through what he believed was wrong, what he believed was evil. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the bracha of Ve'eschel Goy Godol, I'll make you influential, I'll make your name great. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, your purpose, your mission of life is to create an environment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is respected, and by doing so you have to influence people. I will give you the respect that you need in order to be able to have impact. I'll give you the value that people will have in order to be able to want to listen to you and to change their lives. So the Eschol Goy Gadol over here is the tools that Kodesh Baruch is giving Avraham Avinu to fulfill his mission. So that was number one. So Chasam Sefer said, first of all, number one, that a person, in order to be able to make impact on people, he's got to be respected by people. And respect comes with presentation. Presentation comes with the way one presents oneself, how articulate one is, and that is how a person is going to be able to impact somebody to an extent he's willing to change his life. Lech Lecho. We asked, what shall Lech Lecho, go for yourself? So there's a very interesting vort brought down from the Imre Shammai. And he introduces it with a story of Reb Nachum Kol of Chernobyl. Nachum Kol of Chernobyl, in places in Poland, a Jew was imprisoned. For the drop of a hat, a Jew was imprisoned. It was very easy to imprison them, as a normal thing to do. And his mission was to collect money in order to free these Jews. One time, Reb Nachum Kol, for some reason or another, for some trivial matter, was imprisoned himself. And he was thrown into this dungeon, this damp dungeon, and treated terribly. And he couldn't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to him. He was a person who looked out so much for other people, and cared about other people being captured. He himself should be punished in this way. And a simple Jew came past and visited him and says, you should just know, I had an idea. And my feeling is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this position in order that you should be more understandable. You should understand more. You should be able to empathize more what other people go through in this position. A person cannot fully comprehend, a person cannot fully understand what somebody else goes through unless they go through that experience themselves. In anything, a person chalila loses somebody in the family. One can never really understand what that is unless that person happened to go through that same experience themselves. A person's in a hospital. A person lost their business. It's very difficult. You can try. You can attempt to become understanding and to listen to what the person's suffering, but to really comprehend the depth of what a person really went through, it's very difficult unless a person goes through that himself. Avram Avinu's ability to influence other people was his incredible form of hospitality. His incredible open house had four doors and every direction people were welcomed in. How he ran after the Malachim. Avram Avinu was the one who showed hospitality to travelers. In order for Avram Avinu to perfect himself, for your good and for your toiva, to make you a better person, is lech lecha, become a traveler. Go, leave, for your own good. Because if you want to perfect yourself, become a traveler. And by becoming a traveler, you'll be able to become more able to understand what travelers need. You know, you get people who don't travel much, right? They don't travel much. You get people who travel a lot. And to go, you know, sometimes people are in the middle of nowhere. And to be able to invite them to a home for Shabbos, and to have a normal bed with tissues next to your bed, with a drink and fruit. If people never gone through that, they don't feel, they don't experience that. So lech lecha means go through, become a traveler for your own good, in order to be able to perfect your mission, to be able to perfect the way that you treat other travelers. That is another fundamental understanding of how a person can change another person's life. Empathy, true empathy. There's a story once with Rav Ari Levine. Rav Ari Levine was living in Yerushalayim in a time where very few people kept Shabbos. And Rav Ari Levine would go past this store on Rehov Yafa, and this man was a very irreligious man from Europe, and he kept nothing, and he kept the store open. And Rav Ari Levine, with his smile and his gentle way, would go past and say, it's Shabbos, and close your store. And the guy said, thank you very much, have a good day, and off he went. And he kept it open week after week. One time, Ari Levine, on the way back from shul, in his beautiful shtreimel and his smile, he came inside the store. He took a chair and he sat down. So the man said, what are you doing here? I feel very uncomfortable. What are you doing over here? He said, you know what? I thought to myself, how difficult it must be for you to close a store on Shabbos. I want to feel what it's like to be in this store. I want to see the customers coming. I want to feel the nesoyin that you have. I want to see how difficult it is. I want to understand you better. You've got people coming in, the doors coming in, and I can see the till ringing up new charges, and I see the credit cards being swiped, and I can understand now what you're going through. I want to feel the nesoyin that you go through. And this man was so touched that Arya really sincerely wanted to feel what he went through, that after a few weeks he closed his store. So the lech lecha, what's the deal over here, is become a person who understands what the other person is going through. Don't lecture to the other person. Understand where they're coming from. That is how a person will be more effective in being able to impact other people to Avodas Hashem. Rav Moshe is medayik a very, very interesting fact. You look in the parasha, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Vayera Hashem al Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pita Avram, v'yayman yiseh lezarecha eten es ha'aretz hazayis, I'll give your nation, your children, this land, v'yivein shom izbeach l'Hashem hanira elov, and he, Avram Avinu, built him izbeach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appeared to him. Next posuk, v'yatik, misham ha'ohora, he left, and he went v'yayt oholoi beis el miyom v'ay mikedem, showed exact location, Vayivain Shom Mizbeach, and again he built another Mizbeach, Vayikro B'Shem Hashem, and he started to call B'Shem Hashem. Asks Rav Moshe, what is the idea behind building these two Mizbeaches? Rashi discusses that already. But why does it say in the first time Vayivain Shom Mizbeach, and it does not say and he began to call B'Shem Hashem? The next Pasuk, Vayikro B'Shem Hashem, and he called B'Shem Hashem. What is the idea behind that? Why does it say twice built a mizbeach and why Yikub Hashem Hashem? Says Rav Moshe, there is unfortunately a concept in the secular world of do as I say but don't do as I do. A person knows how to lecture other people about what is right, but they themselves don't act in that way. First principle in making impact on other people is making sure that you are holding yourself, that you are sincere in your standards, that you're not lecturing about something that you yourself are not holding on. Number one, Vayivein Shom Mizbeach, he first built a Mizbeach for himself, and he created standards for himself. A Mizbeach is standards. He made sure that he was holding on those standards. Only then, says the next part of the Pasuk, he built another Mizbeach for other people, and he started Yikra B'Shem Hashem and started lecturing to other people. Only once he's built a Mizbeach for himself could he build a Mizbeach for other people and start lecturing. Don't think you can just give over. It won't go over. It won't wash. People see the insincerity. That is a fundamental importance of making sure you have your own standards. But Rav Moshe goes further than that, and he says later on in the parasha, we find that Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him down to Mitzrayim, and he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and there's a rov, there's a famine. So Avraham Avinu goes down, and 3 months later, he comes back from Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayal Avram Mitzrayim Posuk Aleph and Perigud Gimel, Huva Ishtoi, and he came back to Eretz Yisrael 3 months later. By that time, Avram Avinu is very wealthy, and he says, Al Mokim HaMizbeach, Posuk Dalet, in that place he made Mizbeach, Asher Oso Shom Baruch Shoino, that he originally made, Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem, he again called B'Shem Hashem. Asks Rav Moshe, why did he go back to exact same location where he built the Mizbeach and started calling it B'Shem Hashem? What's the idea behind that? So he said, Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael. He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael then was a very successful place to be. As soon as Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a Rav Ba'aretz. It became a famine. As he stepped his foot into Eretz Yisrael, it became a famine. Not only that, as soon as he left Eretz Yisrael, the famine stopped. So Avraham Avinu can take this very personally. And he's saying, I have a simon min hashamayim that I have to change my what I do. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do kiruv. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be like Shem ve'eva and noyach. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want me to do what I'm doing. I see, I come to Eretz Yisrael, shloi kederech hateva, there's a famine. I go to Mitzrayim, the famine stops. So Avraham Avinu went back to that same place they went to Mizbeach. They originally started to darshan Hashem Hashem. Rashi says, what's up v'yikru b'Shem Hashem? When? Now or before? V'yikru b'Shem Hashem, was it talk about where he began to say b'Shem Hashem, or did he now start talking b'Shem Hashem?
Didn't he already say that he'd called in Hashem Hashem? Yeah,
so now this pasuk, Asher Oso Shom Rishonim V'yikru Shom Avraham b'Shem Hashem, is it referring to what he did then b'Shem Hashem? He went to the place where he in the past called B'Shem Hashem. Or says Rashi, V'gam Yeshleima V'yikru Shom Achshav B'Shem Hashem. Now he started saying B'Shem Hashem. In other words, referring to the present. Is it referring to the past or the present? So Moshe is referring to both. Avraham Avinu said, Rebbeinu Shleilam, I know what I'm doing is right. I know it's an Nisoyin. I know it's a test. And therefore, I am going to go back to the same place that I originally called B'Shem Hashem. I'm going to carry on doing Kiruv even though I can see that perhaps I have nisyonos. So I went back to the same place where I originally started my career, and I'm continuing my career, even though it seems that min hashamayim I should stop doing kiruv, because I see that as a nisyon, and I'm not going to take that seriously. I'm going to carry on and do what I have to do. So in that same place, v'yikra b'shem Hashem, he went back to that same place, v'yikra b'shem Hashem. That's what Moshe said. So we see various lessons. Number one, we see you have to be respected. Number two, you got to have your own real values before you start darshing to other people. And we see, don't give up. Don't give up. Other rabbits on the Soyan, it's a test, and carry on. But Rav Moshe says something fascinating at the end of the parasha. Rav Moshe says, at the end of the parasha, Avraham Avinu was told to do Bris Milah. Yeah, he's told to do Bris Milah, and he's commanded by Kosh Baruch Hu to do Bris Milah. The Rishonim, the Achronim all ask, Avraham Avinu kept every single mitzvah in the Torah, even however you learn it, he kept every mitzvah derabbanan as well. There's a beautiful mitzvah called Bris Milah that is celebrated, that is valued, that is done with Mesiris Nefesh, that is appreciated, that even people that aren't so frum keep a Bris Mila. Why did Avraham Avinu not do Bris Mila before now? Why not? Why not? So the famous Briskarov, yeah, that says that Mila is all about removing Orla, removing something that is extra. It's only called extra when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's extra. It's not called Orla if that's what you're supposed to have. It's not called Orla until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's extra. Therefore, if he would remove that beforehand, he could never fulfill the real mitzvah of removing Orla, moving something that's extra before it's made extra. Okay, that's a Briska vault, which is a very, very beautiful vault. But the Rishonim talk about this. Ramesha asks, why did Avraham Avinu not do this Bris Mila? And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got to convince him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Avraham Avinu, don't worry, Yisalach Lefayna V'yir Tomid, Tomim, everything will be okay, do the Bris Mila. Avraham Avinu saw this Bris Mila as a tremendous Nisoyon. What was such a Nisoyon? Why was it such a great test? Not only that, amazingly, Avraham Avinu was not convinced it was the right thing to do. In the beginning of next week's parasha, Avraham Avinu is sitting there, Eloine Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. Why is it Eloine Mamre? Says a Medrash. He went to ask the advice of different people, and Mamre says, yes, go ahead with the Bris Mila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do Bris Mila, and he asks Mamre to do Bris Mila. That doesn't sound like Avraham Avinu. What's Peshat? Says Ramesh like this, such a fantastic word. Now you have to understand, you have to see the step-to-step process over here. Ramesh says, there's a pasuk in the Torah, that is a lav, a special lav that Levim have to shave their beards with a razor. Besides Klal Yisrael, there's an extra lav that Levim have. Yeah? Kohenim have. Why is that? Says Rav Moshe. That there is a accepted and appreciated system in the world where there is a divide between the spiritual people and the person on the street. The person on the street does what he needs to do, and he values and appreciates the spiritual people. Well, that's not him. They live in monasteries. They value celibacy. Yeah, they live in the nunneries. But, you know, they walk around with their clothes. I am not one of them. I'm expected to behave in a particular way, but I'm not one of them. I'm not expected to be like the vicar or the pope or the bishop. I'm not one of them. They can walk around with their orange tunics and begging bowls, but I'm not one of them. They can walk around and bash drums and say Hare Krishna all day with their ponytails, but I'm not Hare Krishna. You know, the holy people is separate to the person who you are. Yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Kohenim, no, I don't want you to look different. I don't want you to look different. I want you to be as holy and to look the same as any one of Klal Yisrael. Even though you do have extra Kedusha, but don't look different. Don't look different. Because by looking different, people will say, oh, they're like that, and I'm like this. They have certain values. I'm not mechuyah to be like them. The proof is, they dress differently, they are different. I'm not like that. It's not who I am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. They are like you. You're exactly like them. I get given a very, very powerful, very powerful moshel. I'm not sure who this was, but there's one of the Gedolei Olam. I forgot who this was. It's a shame I don't remember who this was. But one of the Gedolei Olam was asked by a father to speak to the son who wanted to marry a shiksa. Wanted to marry a shiksa. There's a boy who came from a traditional home, yeah, not very particularly warm in Yiddishkeit home, and this boy was wanted to marry out. So the father called the rabbi and says, please speak to my son. He said, I'll do what I can, but okay. Called the son in, and he said, I'm going to tell you something, I hope you didn't tell anybody else. You have a very, very big nesayin. To marry out is a very, very big nesayin. You should know the Vilna Gaon also married out. We're shocked. The Vilna Gaon married out? Yeah. The Vilna Gaon married the shiksa. Yeah, he also has an assignment. What are you talking about? The Vilna Gaon married the shiksa? How can he marry a shiksa? He's a godboy. He said, so what's so bad? What are you talking about? The Vilna Gaon, such a holy person, married. It's a terrible thing. I never knew that. He said, no, sorry, it's not true. He never married a shiksa. Sorry, that's... But do you know, you're just as much loved by Kodesh Baruch the Vilna Gaon. Did you know that? And how can you marry a shiksa? You're just as loved, you're just as holy, you're just also Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. How can you do that? And it worked. Vilna Gaon was, of course, on a level that we cannot possibly fathom. But he was a part of Klal Yisrael. I'm part of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, a Kohen cannot look different, because if he does that, we have an excuse not to be like him. Avram Avinu felt that to do Bris Milah separated him from everyone else. He would look different. He was on a different level. His family would look different. And by doing so, his ability to do Kiruv, because people will say, he's like us, and therefore I have to change to be like him, will be watered down, because he's no longer on the same level as them. And therefore, for Avraham Avinu to do Bris Milah and to separate himself and be different, will completely jeopardize his mission of Yikra B'Shem Hashem, to be like, to call out Kodesh Baruch and bring everyone in and say, no, we're all the same, we all have to grow together. That was his Nisoy. So what did he do? He went to Mamre, and said, Mamre, let me ask you a question. What would you do, what would you say, if I had Bris Milah? He wanted to check the waters of what people would say, and how difficult it would be to them to accept a person like that, in order to change his approach, in order to understand how people perceive him and be able to override that and still be able to value Avraham Avinu as being one of them. That is what was going on. So his nesoyon was that his mission in life would be jeopardized, that he will not be able to do the same kind of ability to make everyone, bring everyone up like him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that mitzvah, and he still did it anyway. The question is, though, asking this in Alpert, if Avraham Avinu now is different, yeah, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him that mitzvah? If Avraham Avinu's mission in the world was Tikkun Olam, to bring everyone in, why did he, yes, give him that mission? Why did he, yes, make him different?
Well, Avraham Avinu was also going to encourage everyone else to
no, not to do Bris Milah. No. Avraham Avinu only encouraged his family to do Bris Milah. Everyone else can do what they want, and Avraham Avinu made Alfei V'Revavos, tens of thousands of people, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did not do Bris Milah. So if Bris Milah jeopardizes the mission of Kiruv, and that's so important, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, given that mitzvah? So ask Nissen Alpert, the Talmud of Ramosha Feinstein. Listen to what he answers. He says, Avraham Avinu had a primary mission of going along and calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, doing Kiruv. But there's one even greater mitzvah than that, and that is building your own family. Be a rabbi to your family before you're a rabbi to the nations. In order for Avraham Avinu to build a family of Klal Yisrael, he had to be perceived as being perfect. He had to be perceived as being the Sholem. To have an Ola is not Shlemus. If a child sees that the father is not Sholem, there'll be a lack in the ability for the parents to educate their child. And the first priority of Kiruv is doing Kiruv to one's family, to become the rabbi of one's family before they become the rabbi of the community of doing Kiruv. Avraham Avinu had to become the perfect father. The perfect father can only do that by doing Bris Milah. Then, the secondary mission now is doing Kiruv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing him that the most important thing, Kiruv starts at home. The family goes first. And if a family is jeopardized, and a Chalila, the children are going to suffer, one has to ask serious shailas before one goes into further Kiruv. That is why I did a Bris Milah. That is the way Nissen Alpert said it. Rabbi Moshe said that if you do Kiruv in the correct way in Parshas Vayera, well, even after he had the Bris Milah, he said again, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, it didn't jeopardize it as well. I calculated in a way that's calculated according to human understanding, that will jeopardize his mission. Kiruv does not work as a science. It does not work as a mathematics. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the Dishmaya, and Avraham Avinu had the same ability, because it's done in the right way, to do Kiruv when he looked different to when he looked the same. A person doesn't have to be one of them. You don't have to walk around in jeans and t-shirts in order to be able to do Kiruv with jeans and t-shirts. You don't have to do that. There has to be an ability to have your own standards, people to respect you, but one doesn't have to jeopardize one's ruchnius in order to give over that. Let's finish off with one last vault over here. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Loit was a at-risk gentleman. He went with Avraham Avinu and with the serious nefesh. He went with Avraham Avinu, beginning of the parasha. He took Loit with him when everyone else left behind. Loit was a very connected, sincere, loyal Talmud to Avraham Avinu, as long as he was with him. In the parasha later on, Loit got into trouble. Loit separated, got into trouble. And Avraham Avinu was willing to put his life and limb at risk in order to save Loit. He went out, he went out and he fought major kings. He made a major world battle to save Lot, and he did not know that he's going to be saved. According to Zayah Kodesh, he did know, but according to other Prophet, he didn't know, but it's not possible. He went out and he put his life at risk to save Lot. Lot made a stupid mistake to go to Sodom, and he put his life at risk. So, Avraham Avinu is willing to risk his physical life to save Lot. One thing is not willing to risk, and that was Vayehi Riv. There was a fight between Lot's Royim and Avraham Avinu's Royim. Avraham Avinu saw that through an argument there could be a Chil Hashem, and through an argument there could be a Machlekus that could create an environment that he has to compromise on his Torah values, and if that's the case, I have to send Lot away. Big Mr. Kiruv, the first Jew, that's what he stood for, is going to send away his family member because it's going to jeopardize his own ruchnius. And what happened? He did. And where did he end up? In Sodom, the worst place on earth. That is a lesson, said Yaakov Kamenetsky. That however important it is to become v'yikra b'shem Hashem, to go out and to make an impact and to change people's lives, one has to be extremely careful that one does not compromise one's own values in doing so. And if it does come to that, one has to ask serious shaylos. One has to know that one does, that everything has its limitations. That's this week's parasha. It's lech lecha. It's an understanding of to become great and to make an impact. It's got to be a gadlut shemecha. You've got to be respected. The way you become respected is having the empathy to really understand lech lecha. Go for yourself. Become a traveler like everyone else. It is a concept of becoming great yourself before you start. Lecturing to other people, be sincere of who you are. First build a mizbeach for yourself, and then build a mizbeach for other people. Yikra b'shem Hashem. It does not mean become the god l'hador and then go into kiruv. It doesn't mean that. It means be real. Be real. Have your real emunah b'tochem with who you are. Yeah, be real. Don't try and pretend and give over something that you're not. It will not wash. People are fantastic connoisseurs of sincerity. And then the parasha talks about that don't give up. He went back to the same place, v'yikra b'shem Hashem, and carried on saying v'shem Hashem. And then this idea of bris mila, of being, showing people that to be a religious Jew does not mean that religious Jews are different. We also enjoy ice cream. We're also human beings, and you have to be like us. You have to also become. It's not religious Jews and us. You know, one of the biggest mistakes, they say, in Kiruv was to call what we call Jews Orthodox Jews. As a tremendous mistake. We should have called ourselves Jews. We're not Orthodox, because there's Orthodox Jews, and there's Reformed Jews, and Conservative Jews. There's one, and therefore they have their group, but we have our group, and therefore we don't mix. No, we're not Orthodox Jews, we're Jews. You want to make yourself in one different group? Fine. You're taking the trademark that Avraham Avinu put down all those thousands of years ago, and you're twisting it. That's fraud. That's fraud. But we're not Orthodox Jews and Conservative Jews. We are Jews. And you are expected to be like us in every single manner, to keep 613 mitzvahs. We're not a unique group of people, and therefore you have your rabbi and we have our rabbi. No, this is Yiddishkeit. This is who we are. And this is what we have to give over to those people that we meet. And it's important as well to understand that it has its limitations. The family should not be put at risk in a way that chalila, that one loses one family and one's own standards.
Oh, yeah.